this figure. But first, let's speak to Lord Heseltine, former Deputy Prime Minister, joins us from Westminster. The wrangle over the money just seems never-ending, Lord Heseltine.
Yes, I think the reality of our newly found sovereignty is coming home to people. The Europeans will tell us what the conditions are, and we, in the end, will have to accept them.
So you think that we may even go above £40 billion?
Well, I don't know what the figure is, and I can well understand the government's fear of letting anybody know. But the fact is the Europeans will have a very clear idea of what they're prepared to accept, and we're not in a position to do much about it.
So we don't have leverage, you think, to say, look, I mean, we're going to not stop buying your cars or whatever if you raise this figure much more?
They know that 45% of our trade goes to Europe. We are in a very weak position. You know, just it's curious it is today we're having this discussion. Two big European agencies have left. The most serious, the European Banking Authority, going to Paris. The other day I was at a meeting with someone who had been aware of a meeting with President Macron and bankers from the city trying to persuade them to come to Paris. This is another piece of weaponry in his armoury. We've just lost our judge on the International Court of Justice. It hasn't happened since the 1940s. It is the saddest possible manifestation of the extraordinary miscalculation of Brexit. And then there's going to be the bill. They promised us £350 million a week for the health service. Didn't tell us anything about £20, £30, £40 billion to just buy out our liabilities to Europe.
Well, it's funny that, because during the Brexit referendum campaign, the Cameron Osborne side, your side as well, didn't say, look, everyone, listen up. If we leave, we're going to have to pay, might even be £100 billion. Nobody really mentioned that.
Oh, I think we all knew there'd be a price. We didn't know what the price was. But it was impossible to know until you started the negotiations. The ordinary punter out there, I can't calculate these things. I've got no idea what the detail is. But once you got into it, we made it clear, very clear, that there would be a very considerable price and that we would not be in a position to do anything other than pay it.
You say that. This makes it more likely, surely, that we say we're not paying and we're going and that's it. And whistle for it, as Boris Johnson says.
Well, Boris says these things, but you'll have noticed the speculation is that he's now signed up to the deal. So it was a fairly muted whistle in the event, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but there'll be lots of people listening, Lord Heseltine, who think that as soon as this figure goes any higher, we need to just turn our backs and walk away.
Well, of course, there are people who say that, but they need to know the consequences, that our industry, without a deal, would come to a standstill. Why? Because the automobile industry, particularly, imports a huge number of components from Europe. And if you were to slap a charge on those trade tariff on those components, it would make our car manufacturing uncompetitive. And the foreign-owned manufacturers, let's use the word, the foreign-owned manufacturers of our car industries will move their manufacturing into Europe.
Mm. So do you see this demand for money by Mr. Barnier and Mr. Juncker and the EU as grounded in any sort of logic, or is it just, as many people suspect, a punishment payment to make us feel bad about ourselves?
It's not a punishment at all. It's merely saying, look, you Brits entered into a budget with the European Union, as a result of which we, the officials at Brussels, entered into contracts to employ people, to spend money on projects, and now you want to go. Well, I'm sorry, but you signed up to these deals and you've got to pay.
The next guest believes, I think, when we talk to him, he believes that we should be saying, look, we spent money building the parliaments in Brussels and Strasbourg, so we want fixtures and fittings, we want some of the brickwork back, we want our share.
I think that's the sort of thing that people will say, but who's listening?
Thank you very much, indeed, Lord Heseltine, former Deputy Prime Minister. Let's go then to Godfrey Bloom, who was a UKIP MEP for Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire and also research economist. And you do believe that we should be basically saying it's quits, it's zero, Godfrey?
No, what I'm actually saying is this is, let's get rid of AMA tonight. At the moment, it's AMA tonight. It's whatever the politicians came up with late at night on the back of a fag packet. What I actually want to see, and this is what would happen in a matter of business with professionals, a forensic accountancy, an independent forensic accountant, sitting down very carefully and saying, what do the EU owe us? And what do we owe them? So what about the real estate? What about the parliamentary buildings and other buildings? What about the commitment to the European Investment Bank? How much are we owed? How much do we legitimately owe them? And let's get a figure.
Yeah, but that's fine, Godfrey, if you're firing someone. But this is about an ongoing relationship, isn't it?
Well, yes, if you let me finish, I think what we need to do is find out what that number is from an independent source, a respected international independent source, so the British taxpayer, who are the people who are going to have to pick this up, knows exactly what it is. We need a second opinion on the legal position. The House of Lords says we are not obliged to pay anything at all vis-à-vis an exit fee under Article 50. So we need to be dealing with what we actually know. Then, and only then, Jeremy, can the government say, look, we actually owe, say, 5 billion or 10 billion or whatever that figure is, or they owe us 5 or 10 billion. Let's get that figure. Let's find out the legal position. And then the government can say, look, we do want an ongoing relationship. We want it to be friendly, so on and so forth. So we're going to give an extra year's subscriptions, which is about 11 or 12 billion pounds, as a goodwill gesture. Anything more than 1 year subscription is not a goodwill gesture. It's paying Dane geld. And Lord Heseltine, who doesn't seem to fully, I think, understand international trade, what he's got to understand is that our international trade is growing apace outside the European Union. And moreover, we have to remember, as Lord Lawson pointed out a few days ago, 150 countries on the face of this planet trade with the European Union under WTO rules. Every fifth car or sixth car you see on the roads these days is not made in the European Union. The place is full of Kias and Hondas and Hyundais. So to suggest our automobile industry is going to suffer is simply unbelievably stupid. So, it couldn't possibly suffer.
So we are heading towards a hard Brexit, then, if they put this figure up, you think?
A hard Brexit is just an invention of the Ramoners post-referendum, which they lost, and they're still surprised that they lost. There's nothing to do with hard Brexit, soft Brexit, poached breakfast, grilled Brexit. This is all a figment of people's imagination. We voted to leave at the referendum, and leave we must do. And then, sensibly, we should sit down and have a holistic international trade relationship with the rest of the world, not just the European Union. We can't negotiate trade deals with the European Union when we've got America, the old Commonwealth, Africa and the Indian subcontinent waiting in the wings. It's simply absurd. As I say, it's amber tonight and it's got to stop.
But what about the, you say America, but we found out with Bombardier recently where they ended up on the receiving end of an American judgment that was very unpleasant, that disadvantaged us. We found out where America's heart was, and as Mr. Trump says, it's America first, and we may get nowhere there.
Indeed, we might not. But what we've got to do is we've now got to go global, become a global trading nation. What a lot of people sometimes don't fully understand is the European Union is a tariff-protected cartel. It isn't about free trade or open trade. It's about a cartel. So most of the stuff that we import outside the European Union carries a tariff. Why does it carry a tariff? It's to protect European Union manufacturers. It's not in the interest of the consumer. This is all about politicians and big business. It's nothing to do with ordinary people, which is why we voted to go, and go we must.
Thank you very much, Godfrey Bloom, former UKIP MEP. Before him, Lord